There was dead silence in the kitchen. Thomas and Butters both stared at me, expressions apprehensive.
"Maybe it's the cloak," Bob suggested brightly. "Harry, do you feel any more judgmental and self-righteous than you did this morning?"
I took a slow and deep breath. "Sorry," I said, "sorry. That came out kind of harsh."
"Maybe a little,"
Butters said, his voice all but a whisper. I rubbed at my face and glanced at the battery-powered clock on the wall of Murphy's kitchen. "Okay, sundown's in just over an hour. I have to be ready to call up the Earl King by then." Thomas said. "Harry, if it's the Earl King's presence that's going to attract all of these old spirits to their old tools and stuff, then won't it do the same thing no matter who calls him up?" "Yeah," I said. "Unless the one who calls him traps him in a circle to contain his power and leaves him there." Bob made a spluttering sound.
"Harry, that's a dangerous proposition. No, scratch that. It's an insane proposition. Even assuming you have the will to trap something like the Earl King in a circle, and even if you keep him there all night, he is not going to let that kind of insult go. He'll come back the next night and kill you, if you're lucky."
"I can worry about that after I've done it," I said.
"Wait," Butters said. Wait. I mean, will it really matter? These guys don't have the bad magic book, right? Without that book, all they can do is call up the spirits. They can't, you know, eat them, right?"
"We can't assume that they don't have it," I said. "Gravain might have found it."
"But the other two couldn't, right?" Butters said.
"Even if they haven't, they'll still be there," I said. "They can't afford to assume that their rivals haven't gotten the book. So they're going to show up with everything they have, to try to prevent one of the others from going through with the ritual."
"Why?"
Butters asked. "Because they hate each other," I said. "And if one of them goes all godly, he's going to enjoy crushing the others. It will probably be the first thing he does."
"Oh,"
Butters said. "That's why I need you to do something for me, Thomas." My brother nodded. "Name it." I grabbed a blank piece of paper and a pencil and started writing. "This is a note. I want you to take it down to the address I'm writing down and get it to the wardens." "I'm not going anywhere close to the wardens," Thomas said. "You don't have to," I said. "They're at a hotel. You will leave it at the desk and ask the clerk to take it to them. Then clear out fast." "Are they going to trust a note?" Thomas asked, skeptical. I told them to expect a messenger if I couldn't get there myself. They know about the Earl King, that I'm trying to sidetrack him. They need to know where the heirs of Kemmler are going to be, so that they can take them down. 5 of them, Thomas said quietly. They'll be outnumbered by 1. I grimaced. It would be worse than that. Ramirez had looked like he could handle himself, but the 2 rookies couldn't have stood up to any of the heirs, or their companions, from what I'd seen. "Once I've secured the Earl King, I'll be along as quick as I can. Besides that, they're wardens," I said. "They'll take down Kemmler's flunkies." "Or die trying," Thomas said. He grimaced. "How should I get down there?" I went to another kitchen drawer and rummaged in it until I found Murphy's spare keys. I tossed them to Thomas. "Here, her motorcycle is in the shed." "Right," he said, but his expression was wary. "She gonna mind me stealing her bike?" "It's in a good cause," I told him. "The streets are bad, and the wardens need to get moving soonest. Go." Thomas nodded, pocketed the keys, and shrugged into his leather jacket. "I'll get back here as soon as I'm done." "Yeah," I said quietly. "Thomas, to the wardens, you're nothing but a White Court vampire. If they see you, they'll be out for blood." "I understand," he said. His voice was a little bitter. "If I'm not back in time, Harry, good luck." He offered his hand, and we traded grips, hard. My hand must have been cold with nerves, because his felt warm. Then he let go of my hand, nodded to Bob and Butters, and headed out into the rain. A minute later, Murphy's Harley grumbled in the backyard, and then purred off into the rain and gloom. I sat there in silence for a minute, then got up and went to the stove. I got the teapot out, filled it up, and put it on the gas burner to boil. It took me a minute to find Murphy's collection of teas, and it was gratuitously complex. I mean, come on, how many different types of tea do you really need? Maybe I'm prejudiced because I take my tea with so much sugar that the actual flavor is sort of an aftertaste. I found some in instant bags that smelled vaguely minty. "Tea?" I asked Butters. "Sure," he said. I got out 2 cups.
"What's next?"
he asked.
"Hot tea," I said, "staying warm. Then I go out in the rain and call up the Earl King. You're staying inside while I do."
"Why?"
he asked. "Because it's going to be dangerous."
"Well, yeah," he said. "But why inside the house? I mean, this super goblin can just rip the walls apart, right?"
"Strong enough to do it, probably," I said. "But it can't. The house is protected by its threshold." Butters looked at me blankly.
"Which means what?"
I leaned a hip on the counter and explained. "A threshold is a kind of energy that surrounds a home. I frowned, thinking how to explain it. "It's sort of like the home has a positive charge to it. If outside magic wants to come in, it has to neutralize that charge first. Big, tough things from the Never-Never need a lot of power just to stay in our world. They don't usually have enough to take out a threshold and still have enough juice to be dangerous."
"It's like that vampire thing?" he asked. "They can't come in if you don't invite them?"
"Pretty much, yeah. If you invite something in, your threshold won't affect it. But other magical beings and energy have trouble with it. It's a solid defense."
"Didn't help your place much," Butters observed.
"My place is a rental apartment," I said. "And except for the past several months, it's been just me living there. Doesn't give it the same kind of energy as you'd find in a long-established home."
"Oh, is that what they mean by safe as houses, then?"
I smiled a little. "A house doesn't make a home. When the place has got history, family, emotions, worries, joys worked into the wood, that's when it gets a solid threshold. This house has been in the Murphy clan for better than 100 years and lived in for every one of them. It's solid. You'll be safe in here."
"But it's not going to get loose once you call it up," Butters said. "Right?"
"That's the plan. But even if it did, you aren't the one who is going to piss it off. There won't be any reason for it to come after you."
"Oh, good," he said.
He blinked at me and said, apologetically,